We start off the service this morning thanking you and praising you because you are truly our help, our Ebenezer, the stone of help. And Lord, 2016, the year of your manifested help made visible to us. We praise you for that, Lord. We lift up Kevin and Amy right now. Touch their bodies. Remove all the sickness from them, Lord, and let them just rest and be at such peace today. Thank you for our praise band, Lord, all the hard work that they just did. And Lord, we praise you that you're here right now in our midst, touching us, helping us. Lord, you're going to just embrace our hearts, oh God, in such a way that we leave here closer to you than we've ever been. Bless us now, Father. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. I want you to turn your Bible. We'll be in Acts now, next Sunday, back to normal. I have one more message though I want to talk to you about for 2016. So turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the New Testament Gospel of John, chapter 14, beginning in verse 15. And I will be there in about 20 minutes. And that really is the truth. So just hold your place. Don't worry about it. Remember now our key sermon, our key scripture for this year, the word that God has given us for this specific fellowship, Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, was 1 Samuel 7:12. Remember, there the children of Israel, they're defeated. They've been in bondage for 20 years to the Philistines. And God tells them, if you'll do these four or five specific things, if you will obey me, then I'll deliver you. And after the deliverance came, remember what Samuel did. He goes out into the field between Mizpah and Shin. They're in the field where they had suffered such horrible defeat, 20 years of wasted living and so forth. And he pulls up a huge rock, a stone, and he sets it up as a monument, and he calls its name Ebenezer, the stone of help, saying, thus far God has helped us. Up to this point, God has helped us. And up to this point, God has helped you. Amen? He's always helping us. He's every day the unseen God in the unseen realm. You don't know how many angels you may have around you, even right now. And some of you, the way you drive, you need angels. You know? Now, I meant that in a loving way. All right, now, so it's a new beginning for Israel. That's what we learned last time. But you know, did they mess up badly? Oh, it's horrible. You know, but whenever God gives you a new beginning, here's what he's telling you. Don't live on your past. Live on my promises, amen? And that's what we, all of us, need to do. We have the divine helper, the Holy Spirit, who is not only with us, but living in us right this minute. Now, remember from last week that God's help did not come to Israel until they did something. Israel had to obey the Lord and obey Samuel. What did Samuel tell them? He told them, he says, now listen, if you return to the Lord with all of your hearts, if you put away all of your foreign gods, all your asterisks and your balls and all the rest of it, if you put that away, if you prepare your heart for the Lord, and if you serve him only, God says, I will deliver you. And how did God deliver Israel that day? It was not his unseen help, but his seen help. Israel repented. They did exactly what Samuel said to do. And then all of a sudden, God started thundering from heaven and confusing the Philistines, and they wiped them out. Now, that God's help was seen. It was also heard. 2016 is the year of God's manifested, visible, made public help for us in Jesus' name. Amen? Now, with all that being said, before we get into John 14, let me just set this up for us this morning. Matter of fact, let's do this. The title this morning that I want to talk about is Obedience is the Key. Say that with me. Obedience is the key. That's so vital that we get this into our hearts. Now, have you noticed in God's word, have you ever noticed how fond he is to manifest his love to us, to mankind? Let me just give you a few scriptures. 1 John 4:9. This is the love of God that was manifested toward us. We're the objects of his love, okay? Here it is. That God has sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. Not only live through him now, but live eternally through him forever and ever and ever and ever. God manifested. That word is so important. Manifested, made public, made visible. It was seen. How did he do that? Well, it was the babe in the manger. Amen. Now, why did God manifest his only begotten son to this crummy world that we live in? Well, the Bible tells us in 1 John 3:5, and you know, we know that he was manifested. There's that word again, made visible, manifested to take away our sins. The greatest, the absolute greatest manifested help of God ever given to man was Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? There's not a greater manifestation ever given to man. Do you know, if we were not saved, he was manifested, first of all, to take away our what? Sins. How far has he taken away our sins? Boy, you are a well-taught church, man. Who's your pastor? No. No, they're buried. They're forgotten. He remembers our sins no more. Listen, when I think about God's incredible, manifested, made seen help, and as I thought this morning as I was praying, I grabbed my Ebenezer stone that I have. I hope you have one at home. And not that it's magic, not that it's an idol. It's a remembrance. We want to remember what God is doing for us. Amen? And I was saying, Lord, you are our Ebenezer. Oh, God, thank you. The greatest manifestation ever given to man was that our sins were taken away and they were laid upon an innocent Lamb of God. Listen, had that not happened and we died, we would be in hell forever and ever and ever. We would face the great white throne judgment. We would be eternally separated from God forever and ever. We would have never defeated hell, never defeated death, never defeated sin. But since we are in Christ, we have that. Amen? That is the greatest thing that I can, I'm thankful. Now, but also he was manifested for something else. In 1 John 3:8, it says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning, meaning that if a lifestyle of sin. And it says, here it is, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. Say that word with me, manifested, made visible, made public, was seen. It says he was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Well, we can name three works of the devil right now. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The second greatest manifestation of God's help ever given to man was to destroy or render inoperative, if you will, the works of the devil. The devil is real. And I know that today people say, oh, that's not, the world. I don't believe anyone here would say that. I hope not. They want to pray with you after the service. Don't eat my cookies over there, Garrett. They're right there. No, that's true. Somebody gave me some cookies and I was just watching. He's going, he's drooling. Yeah, see, he's going after them. You have to be careful at this church, man. You leave anything, watch your coat, watch your wallet. We're still under construction here. A lot of us are just, oh, Lord, forgive me. No, that doesn't work. Now, destroy the works of the devil, the second greatest manifested help of God. Aren't you so glad that you have been rescued from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of his dear son? Aren't you so glad that you are greater is he who is in you than he that's in this world? Aren't you glad that you've overcome the wicked one because you're in the one who has overcome the world? Listen, the devil hates you. He's the father of all lies, the father of every false religion. He loves to work in churches that do not, he loves to bring people to churches that water down God's word. Oh, he'll bring them there because he knows the word's not going to help them. It's watered down. No, he destroyed the works of the devil. So God's love, he loves to manifest his help to us and to the world. And second, have you ever studied out the Bible to find out how fond our God is of stones? It's amazing. I just started looking through there. Remember Jacob? Jacob, of course, was running from Esau. Esau wanted to kill him, and he stole his birthright, remember? And so here it is, it's late at night, and Jacob is on the run, you know, the deceiver, the subplanter, and so forth. And there he's exhausted, and he lays down in the middle of the night, and for a pillow, he picks up a stone, puts it underneath his head, and there he starts dreaming. And as he's dreaming, God gives him this dream, and he sees a ladder goes all the way to heaven, all down to the earth, and he sees angels ascending and descending upon this ladder, and the Lord speaks to him and says, Jacob, unto this land I will give unto thee and your descendants. Boy, and Jacob wakes up and he says, oh my gosh, God is in this place. I didn't know that God was right there. And he takes that stone, and what does he do with it? A pillow, he turns it up, he pours oil on top of it, and he calls the name of the place Bethel, meaning house of God. It's amazing how stones are used in the Bible. The Ten Commandments, they were written with the finger of God on two tablets of stone. How about this one? Joshua, when he crossed over the Jordan, he said, you go get 12 stones out of there, and they set up 12 memorial stones. And then David picked up a what? And he killed Goliath. We can go home. You guys know everything, you know? No. And then Jesus, think of the Lord. He's called the stone that the builders rejected. He is the tried stone, the precious stone. He is the chief cornerstone. And then in Daniel chapter 2, boy, I'll tell you, that Jesus, our Lord, you should study chapter 2 of Daniel just for fun this week, because it lists the world history, okay? It tells the last kingdom that happens after the European Union. That's what we believe, the toes of clay and iron mixed together, the revised Roman Empire, if you will, the United States of Europe, the EU, whatever you want to call it. The next kingdom that's coming is the Lord's. Amen. That's how close we are. And in Daniel chapter 2, Jesus, our Lord, he is the smiting stone. And you know what? If you don't know the Lord this morning, if you're not saved, please don't stumble over him, because he is indeed a stumbling stone. I don't need the Lord. I don't need any help. Yes, you do. You need God's help. I need God's help. Everyone needs the help of the Lord. Did you know even believers in the Bible are called living stones? That's what you are. You're a living stone. And not only that, how about whenever Jesus died, they put him in a tomb and they rolled over the entry a stone. God is so fond of stones, kind of like Colorado is right now. Now, I took a Sudafed before the service. So, you know, and plus I drank two half cups of coffee here. That means that I am charged, okay? So I'm trying to calm down, but just hold on. Okay, now, listen carefully. We'll go back to Israel now from last week's sermon. They obeyed the commands, four commands from Samuel that God had ordered, okay? Now, when they obeyed that, it resulted in the manifested, seen, made visible help of the living God. What about us? What about us? I mean, surely if they return to the Lord with all of their heart, shouldn't we do the same? In other words, let's say, for example, this morning, is there something that has, if you will, taken you away from the Lord? He says, return to me, come back here. I want all of you. I want all of your heart. You know, he said to Israel, he said, put away your idols. We would have to say, put away anything that you have exalted above our Lord and Savior. In other words, have you left your first love? Is Jesus no longer number one in your heart and in your life? Something else has taken its place. You love something more. You didn't mean to, but you just left the Lord. Well, man, you know what? We need to return. We need to put away. And it's, like you said, with all of your heart. Every one of these are a heart issue. How about this one? He says, prepare your hearts for the Lord. Serve the Lord only. The only way we can serve the Lord only is for him to fill our hearts. In other words, it's always going to be a heart issue if we're not putting away things, if we're not laying aside those besetting sins which so easily trips us up, we're going to be in trouble. Now, this means that everything that we're doing, everything that we do literally is a heart issue, and we have to make sure that our hearts are right. Listen to what King Hezekiah did in 2 Chronicles 31:20. He says this, and in every work King Hezekiah began in the service of the house of God, he did to seek his God Here it is. And he did it with all his heart. Not part of his heart. All of his heart. And then it says, so King Hezekiah prospered. Now, the word prospered is a good word. Amen? And that's what he did. How about Ezra? In Ezra 7:10, it says Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the word, to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it. To do it. Have you ever, like, for example, I have a Bible on my a nightstand at home, one on my desk. They're all over the house, just like your house, probably. Have you ever noticed if you're sitting on the couch and there's the coffee table and there's your Bible on the coffee table, and the moment you sit down, have you ever noticed that your Bible doesn't jump up into your lap or jump up on your chest and open and say, read me? You do? It happens at your house? No, you have to go and pick that Bible up and study it, amen? Oh, loved one, listen, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 23:26, he says, give me your heart. That's God says, give me your heart. I want all of your heart. Proverbs 4:20, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. And he tells us why. For they are life. The word of God is living. Amen. For they are life to those who find them. Their health to all their flesh. And listen carefully. Keep. He says, guard. Guard your heart with all diligence. That means guard your heart above everything else in this life. For out of it, out of your heart, spring the issues of life. Everything that we do is a heart issue. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen? How does a person defile themselves? It's the things that come out of their heart, Jesus said. Last week I said, listen, we need to go to our mitzvah. Meaning watchtower. If we are not watching, if we are not expecting to see the manifested help, the visible help of God in 2016, the reason that we're not is because it's a heart issue. Do you hear me? If you're not praying, I love you and I'm not beating on you, I'm being honest with you. If you're not praying, it's not a time issue. Come on. I overslept. My covers kept me in there. This morning, I can understand too. You know, I'm sitting there and laying in the bed, and it's about 4 something in the morning. And this is the truth. I was 3 something. I said, Lord, would you wake? I said, I hate to ask you this. I know this is terrible, but would you wake me up at 4 o'clock? And I was freezing because my wife has a fan going on. It's 15 degrees outside. And I don't have a lot of meat on my body. So the Lord, he did. He woke me up 4:10. And I said, you know, you must have wanted me to have that always grace, you know, the extra time there. If you're not praying, it's not a time issue. It's a heart issue. If you're not serving, if you're not following the Lord, it's not, I just don't have this. No. It's always a matter of our hearts. Remember the expert in the law. That came to the Lord Jesus. And he came to him and he said, ask him a question. He said, Lord, out of all the commandments, out of every commandment in the Bible, which one is the greatest of all? Jesus immediately looked at him and remember what he said in Matthew 2:37? He said, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And he goes on and Jesus said, this is the first and the great commandment. And the second one is just like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Listen carefully. On these two commandments, Jesus said, our Lord, our Savior, the creator, sustainer of all things. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Did you hear that? Everything in the word of God hangs on those two commandments. The word there literally is a peg that you drive into a wall and you hang something on it. If you remove the peg, the whole Bible would fall apart. Are you listening to me? That's how important loving God and loving your neighbor is. You know, Jesus says here, he says, I don't want half of your heart. I want all of you. You know, that's a big commandment, isn't it? You know it, and I know that there's a million things outside that door in the world that wants your heart. Amen? The world wants it. The flesh wants the world. The devil wants you to love the world, not love the Lord. The devil wants you to replace Jesus with other things in this life. No. You know how easy it is today for the Christian in America, the Christian in the 21st century, to rest in God's grace. Nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. To rest in God's incredible love and yet be such a complacent Christian, an apathetic Christian. Come on. Am I right or wrong? Yes. Someone said this: as Christians, we cannot afford to have a view of the scriptures, the Holy Writ, lower than that was held by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a true word. Jesus, talking about the Word of God, remember what he said? He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Peter told us that the Word of God, you know, the flower fades and so forth, but the Word of God endureth forever and ever and ever. Jesus said in John 10:35, he says, Scripture, the Word of God, Scripture cannot be broken. Jesus said in John 17:17, he said, thy Word, O God, is truth. This is the living truth that God has given us. Now listen, I know you're at John 14. I'll be there in a minute, but this is very important. If you do not get anything else this morning or listen to anything else, you must listen to what I'm about to tell you. It is vital. I mean, absolutely vital. If you do what I'm about to say, you're going to be in such trouble in 2016. If you exalt your circumstances, if you exalt your pain, your hurt, if you exalt your trauma, whatever you're going through in this life, if you exalt it above God's word, there is no help for you. Do you understand me? See, there's where do you go? I'm not going to forgive. Well, you're in trouble. If you exalt yourself above the word of God, this is my second point. The first one, again, is that if you exalt yourself or your circumstance above God's word, he's not going to help me. He's not going to provide. Why would you do that? Then who's going to provide? If you don't believe God's going to provide, who's going to do it? Where are you going to run? Where are you going to run to? Oh, I'm going to go. I'll just go to the self-help book. I go to Siri. I'll go to Google. I'll go to Oprah. No, listen. If we exalt our circumstance, our fear, our problem, our dilemma above God's word, who said you are more than a conqueror, above God's word, who said I shall supply all of your needs according to the riches in Christ Jesus. If you and if we exalt our circumstance above the word of God, who said, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. If we exalt ourselves above the word of God, our problem, our situation, where are we going to go? We are going to be not only helpless, but there is no help. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Amen? And I say, oh God, you must help us on this. The other thing is this. If you exalt yourself above obedience, above obeying God, you're going to get in a lot of trouble. You're going to miss out on everything. Listen, obedience is the key. Remember last week, Elijah, he goes to King Ahab. He says, you know, there's not going to be, at my word, no any dew from heaven, no rain upon the earth until I say it again or whatnot. And then the Lord goes to Elijah and says, Elijah, I want you to go hide yourself at the brook Cherith, and I will command the ravens to come and feed you bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat in the evening. Remember that? And you can drink water from the brook. Now, with all that being said, what would have happened had Elijah said, okay, well, the Lord wants me to go to the brook Cherith. What does he know? You know, I'm going to go hang out at this oasis down here in the desert. What would have happened to him? Well, number one, would he have seen the incredible help of God coming, flying in, that raven bringing that bread and meat, huh? He would have missed it. He would have missed every bit of it. See, when we exalt our wisdom and our what we think we need above what God says to do, we are going to get in trouble. James 4:17, he who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. You're missing the mark, you're in trouble. So with all that being said, obedience is the absolute key to the manifested, visible, made public help of our Savior. If we have to be obedient to say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, we do. You know, today in the 21st century here in the church in America, listen, I know that the church has invented a new doctrine. They invent one every week, you know. But majority of the church has invented the new doctrine called, well, I'm going to hear, but I'm not going to do. No, you can't do that. That's not what the Bible commands us. You know, for example, when my son Thomas, when he was growing up, and I told him, go clean your room, boy. You know what? He didn't say, come back to me and say, Dad, I memorized every word. Go clean your room. That's what we do. I memorize the Bible. I know I can quote scripture after scripture, but I never do them. No, he didn't call his buddy and say, listen, let's have a Bible study. Let's even go into the Greek. My dad said, go clean the room. What do you think that really means? do you understand? That's what we do today. You know, we go to conference after conference. We go online. We have our favorite Bible teachers. We go to Vimeo, YouTube, whatever the rest of it is, and we take note after note after note. No. When God says do something, he means for you to go do it. Amen? Amen? And say, but Bill, we're under grace. Yes, and grace enables you to do it. See, we have more than the Old Testament saints ever thought about having. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. We're a new creation in Christ. We have his incredible grace. We're seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Man, listen, we have it made, folks. So we can do those things by his own power. So James 1:21, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Talking about obedience. 1 John 5:3. And this is love for God. Okay, this is how, if you know you love the Lord, this is love for God, that you obey his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous, they're not burdensome, they're not going to weigh you down, they're not going to hurt you, they're going to get you to the place of victory. Amen? Amen. Now, are y'all with me this morning? Amen. Okay. I pray you're at John chapter 14, are you? Amen. Okay, let's begin this morning at the sit at verse 15. Let's look at verse 14. Let me turn there. I'm sorry. There we go. It's our Lord talking to the disciples. And let's look at something because I want to show you something. In verse 14, it says, Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, look what he says he'll do. I'll do it. Did you know that anything, that's a big word. Amen? Amen. That's a huge word. Now, right after that, do you see a heading that says Jesus promises another helper? Isn't that amazing? Now, did our Lord put that in there? No. There was no chapter and verses, and that's man. Man puts that in there. And I think that's a big mistake when they do that. You know why? Because 14 and 15 go together. Okay, you ask anything in my name, boy, I want to do it. Here's why I want to do it. If you what? If you love me. If you're in love with me, Jesus says, then keep obey my commandments. Amen? Amen? See, that goes together. And look what he says, and I'll pray the Father. He'll give you another helper. In other words, in the Greek, it's another the same kind. Another me is what he's saying. That he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. And the reason they can't receive it is because the world neither sees him or knows him. The Holy Spirit is there. The helper is there. But they're not conscious of that. Imagine going through life and never being conscious that the Holy Spirit of God is right here, right beside you right now. That the eyes of the Lord are everywhere upon the good and upon the evil. He knows your thought that you're thinking this minute. He knows everything, what you did before you arrived, what you're going to do after. He knows you're lying down. You're right. He knows everything. And he loves you. Jesus said, listen. The world doesn't know it. They don't have a relationship with me. The world is anti-Christ, if you will. But look here. He says, but you, church, Calvary Chapel, the disciples we are the disciples today, but you know him. In other words, know, genosko, you've experienced him. God made Jesus real through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And he says here, and he dwells with you, and then will, that's future, will be in you. He's telling the disciples. He says, I will not leave you orphans, or I'll not leave you helpless. I will come to you. Jesus saying, I in the Holy Spirit, I the Spirit, I will come back to you in the person of the Holy Spirit. A little while longer, the world will see me no more, but you will see me. In other words, he's getting ready to go to the cross, okay? Because I live, you'll live also. At that day, meaning the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church, at that day, you will know that I am in my Father. In other words, you'll know that I've returned to the right hand of the Father, that your sins have been purged, and that, and watch this now, and you in me, and I in you. That is one of the most incredible verses in the Bible. The shepherd is in the sheep, and the sheep is in the shepherd. The vine and the branches in the vine. Members of his body, members of his flesh, members of his bone. Amen? We're the body of Christ. And he says, he who has my commandments and what? Keeps them. Okay, obeys them. It is he who loves me. You know, Jesus said in Luke 6:46, he said, why did you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things I ask you to do? See, when we love the Lord, it doesn't mean that sometimes we don't blow it. We blow it a lot, don't we? But thank God for grace. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. But listen, this is important. He says, if you have my commandments and you keep them, you obey them, that's the one who loves me. And he who loves me, watch this, will be loved by my Father, and I will love him. And there's that word. And what? Manifest. Boy, the obedience is the key to the manifestation of God's help and the person of God, okay? I will love him and manifest myself to him. I will let myself, in other words, be clearly seen to that individual. The word manifest means to cause to be seen or to be seen openly. That word in the Greek, and I can't remember how to pronounce it. I have it written right there, but I'm not going to make a fool of myself. I write it phonetically, you know what I'm saying? So I can impress you. But you know, I don't know any Greek. I don't even know any Hebrew, okay? And I can barely speak Spanish. Hola, okay? No, here's the thing. The first time that word was used in the Greek was in Matthew chapter 27, verse 53, I believe it is. And that was when Jesus was resurrected. It says that the saints that were in the tombs, remember, they came up out of the tombs and they appeared, and there's that word, appeared, meaning they manifested themselves to many there in Jerusalem. Think about that. They were clearly seen. I mean, can you imagine the graves coming open and the saints of God coming out of there walking around in Jerusalem? Man, I mean, oh, never mind. I'm just rattling here. Okay, now listen. Do you think here where Jesus, he said this, if you love me, if you keep my commandments, I will manifest myself to you. Do you think that this manifestation is truly enjoyed by every believer? That's a very important question. I know that it's in reach of every believer, but Jesus just said, he says, but to those who love me and to those who obey me, amen? The same thing, we go back to Israel. Samuel said, okay, you're going to have to return with all of your hearts. You're going to have to put away those idols. You know what I mean? You're going to have to prepare your heart, and you're going to have to serve him only. And they said, okay, that's what we're going to do. We repented, and they did it. And God manifested his glory. He manifested his help to them. Well, it's the same thing here. Lord, we love you. You know that you love him. He loved us first, though, didn't he? Yes, he died for us. No, you know, it's for those who are wanting to keep his word, that are following after him. You know, the Bible, look at verse 22. And Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you manifest yourself to us? In other words, why do you cause yourself to be seen to us and so openly and not to the world? Well, we know the answer to that today. We're the ones that take Jesus to the world, amen? But here he goes, and Jesus answered and said, here it is. If anyone loves me, if I am the object of that person's love, he will keep, he will obey my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, meaning in the Holy Spirit, we will come to him, and look at this, and make our home with him. That's one of, I love that scripture, don't you? I mean, Jesus says, he called you a home. He says, I want to come and live in you. I want to manifest my presence in your life. I want to be intimate with you. I want to speak to you. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me, Jesus said. Amen. I want you to make you fishers of men. I want you to travel with me. I want you to deny yourself. I want you to take up your cross daily and follow me, Jesus said. Come with me. I'm living in you. If you love me and you obey me, we're making our home with you. Listen, the Holy Spirit's presence is very, very real. He's always, have you noticed, he's leading us, he's guiding us, he's helping us, he's comforting us, he's correcting us, he's leading us to repent. When we do something wrong, we go, oh, that was wrong. Amen? You know it was wrong. And you say, Lord, forgive me, I blew it, I know that was wrong. And look at this next one. And he who does not love me, doesn't love me. Well, he doesn't keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Profession without practice is worthless. You hear me? To have the talk and not the walk is not going to do anything for anyone. Church membership does not save. It doesn't save us. Church membership is worthless. You say, Bill, I've been a member of the da-da-da-da-da for 5,000 years. Well, that's a lot of people probably believe that. But the fact of the matter is, you have to be born again. You have to be baptized into the body of Christ, okay? Now, with all that being said, you know, our love for Jesus literally is made evident by our obedience, doing what he says. Obedience. And when we do that, it's the key. Because for him to openly show us what's needed and also for help. Look at John 15:9 for a moment. Jesus says, as the Father loved me, I have also loved you. And look what he says, abide in my love. How's that done? You ready? Look at verse 10. Incredible. He says, abide in my love. And now he tells us how. If you what? If you obey my word, obey my commandments, you shall abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. That's one of the most incredible scriptures in the Bible, that when you are obeying the Lord, you're walking in obedience, which is the key to the manifestation of God's help. You know what? You're walking in the literal love of Christ and the literal love of God, and they're all right there with you. That is the most unbelievable thing. Look at chapter 15 now. Look at verse 14. Yeah, verse 14. You are my friends, Jesus says, if you what? If you obey whatever I command you. You know, we sing that song, we're friends of God. There's nothing wrong. He's my friend and all that. There's nothing wrong with that. However, a friend of God is not one who talks about the Lord. It's okay to talk about the Lord. We need to share Christ. But see, that's not it. You know, the fact is, it's not about one who talks about the Lord. It's one who is obeying the Lord, who's walking with the Lord. That's what he said. You're my friends if you obey whatever I command you. But God has many children, but not too many friends today. Amen? No, listen, who are the friends of God? That title is reserved only for those who obey. Obey. I want to be a friend of God. I fall short. You know, I wish I could say like Paul, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I can't say that yet in my life. And here I am only 45. I don't have much time left. You know what I'm saying? For me to live, everything in my life, for me to live is not money. For me to live is not fame. For me to live is not to be known all over the world. For me to live is not to have this or that. Paul says, no. For me just to live is Jesus. Nothing else. That's the only thing I want. That's the only thing I need. I just, me to live. I've been crucified with him. It's no longer I who live, but Jesus. He's the one who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the power and the love of the Son of God who gave himself for me. Amen? Listen, that's what it's all about. No, he says, you know, I just want to do what he says. He says, oh, Jesus, you know what? You're my friend. I need more friends. I need people to go out and be ambassadors for Christ. I need people to teach the little ones in the back. I need people to hold the little babies to give the moms a break who's been cooped up all week and all she can do is talk baby talk. You know what I'm trying to say? And needs a break. Where we all help one another and serve one another and do what God says to do. Would you listen, allow me a moment just to read to you some of the least taught scriptures in the New Testament church today? Let me read. It says in Luke 17:7, Jesus is speaking to the disciples. He says this, and he says, "Which of you having a slave or a servant plowing or tending sheep will say to him when he's come in from the field, 'Come at once and sit down,' but he will not rather say to him, 'Hey, prepare something for my supper, gird yourself up, serve me until I've eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink.' Does he thank the servant?" Do you think, you know, you got a servant, you paid, you know, here you are and you're serving. He says, does he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? Jesus said, I don't think so. No. So likewise, you, Calvary Chapel, listen to what Jesus says. When you have done all these things, the things that Jesus, the Word of God, has commanded us, he says, when you've done all those things which you're commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what our duty to do. Amen? Well, I don't know why that's not taught today. I say, Lord, listen. Well, Bill, we're under grace. Of course we're under grace. Do you know what the word duty there means? It means an obligation. It literally means that we owe. We owe the Lord. Do you ever look at it that way? I mean, listen, I'm not going to go to hell. Do you understand? I am not going to be in the place of torment, the place of unquenchable fire. I'm not going to the gnashing of teeth or the place where the worm never dieth. I'm not going to be there. I owe him everything. Amen? He's washed you. He's cleansed you. He's written your names in the Lamb's book of life. He's inscribed you on the palm of his hand. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. And we say, I can't do that for the Lord. What? It's our duty. It says the slave comes in. He says, hey, man, cook me some dinner. Oh, no, let me serve you. Here, you get fat and eat, and I'll just sit here and wait. No, put on the bacon, man. Then after I have had my dinner, you can go eat yourself. But first, you take care of me. Why? It's our duty. Man, we're bought. What does the Bible tell us? It says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says, for you were bought at a price. And the price, of course, is the precious blood of Jesus. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We owe the Lord. We owe the Lord everything. Well, don't put me under the law. I'm not putting you under the law. I thank God that he saved me. You know, I don't know what time it is. Now I do. Okay. You know, the Word of God. Remember how you used to devour it when you were first saved? And you just, it was so real and so alive. Last night, or this week, I was thinking about that, and then I came into the office, and there was a big package for me on the desk, and Melinda gives it to me and said, there was a lady that stopped by and said that this was for you, so I didn't know what it was. I thought, you know, so I took it in my office, and I opened it up, and it was from my cousin. And, you know, most of y'all know that, you know, I didn't have a wonderful childhood. I didn't really know my dad that well, and so forth. Well, anyway, when he passed away many, many years ago, I asked my aunt, her name was Helen, my father's sister, I said, may I have pictures of my father? Because I don't have any. Or my grandparents, I don't have any of that. And would you please let me have it? Well, she never would. So her daughter, now Helen has gone home to be with the Lord, maybe. And I'm teasing. I know where she's at. She's a believer. Or she was a believer. And so Bobby, my cousin, you know, brings this package over to me, to the church here. And I open it up, and it's all these pictures of my father, my grandfather, the home that they lived in, pictures of him during World War II, and all this stuff, even his Bible. Things that I had never, ever seen. And so here they are. And I mean, I'm about to lose it, as you can imagine. And then there's a cigar box. Y'all remember White Owl cigars? Oh, yeah. White Owl. But anyway, so this box is probably, what, 40, 50 years old. And in it, I opened up, and they're all the letters that my father wrote to his mother and father during World War II. When he was at Guadalcanal and there at the other islands, he was in the Marine Corps. He was a pilot, and I knew nothing about my father, nothing about it. So there I am, like every night now, last night as well. And they crumble. They're 72 years old, and so I'm open, and they start crumbling, and I'm reading all these letters, what he was experiencing. Oh, real. Those are real. That really happened. Loved one, listen, the reason I said that is this is real. Amen. And No, it's real. We should read it just like I was devouring letter after letter from my father. This is our letter from our father. Amen. And we need to say, oh God, listen, this is from my dad. This is from the one who loves me and gave himself for me. What's wrong with us? We need to read over and over. Look what God said. Look what he's saying about me. Look what he says my future is going to be. That's what it's all about, and we owe him. Obedience is the key for the manifested help of the Lord. Whenever the 10 lepers in Luke 17, remember when they came to the Lord, there they are yelling, unclean, unclean, and they've got that bell around their neck, and they're 50, 60 paces downwind, and so forth. They're diseased, their fingers are falling off, their face looks like a lion, their voice is hoarse, they can barely talk. They have a horrible smell of death on them. They said, oh, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy upon us. And what did Jesus say? He said, oh, listen, when he saw them, he said unto them, go. That's a command. Go show yourselves to the priest. Do what it says in my word in Leviticus 14. Go show yourselves to the priest right now. Obey me. Do what I'm telling you to do. And as they went, as all 10 of them went, it says they were healed. You know the story. Only one came back. I don't know what happened. He probably went, oh my gosh, look, I have fingers again. You know, I don't know. But he came back and gave thanks unto him. Now listen to me. The healing of the lepers was a direct result of obedience. Amen? What if they didn't go? Oh, he wants me to go to the priest. The priest, you know what? He's not going. He doesn't want me to come in there anymore. I'm a leper. But they did. They all said, okay, I'm going to do exactly what he said. And they were all healed. Question, would they have died had they not been obedient? Yes, they would have certainly died. Oh, loved one, listen. They would have missed the manifestation of their healing. They would have missed the manifestation of God's help in their life. Why? They didn't obey. You know, sometimes God asks us to do things that we say, that just can't be right. It can't be right to give, Lord. I don't want to tithe. I don't want to do this. I don't want none of that, Lord. God says, okay, suffer. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man. I'm reading from John 9:1. He saw a man who was blind from birth, and he asked the disciples, asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered and said, well, hey, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him, revealed, made manifest. Amen? The help of God to be seen. He says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Yes, you are, Lord. And when he said these things, he spat on the ground. He made clay with saliva. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, the blind man, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. And so he went and washed and came back, what? Seeing. Now that, you know, I've shared that scripture with you throughout the years here, so you probably know it by heart, but it's one of my favorite scriptures. Because here is a blind man. What the irony. Go to the pool of Siloam. Oh, which way is that, by the way? You know? Had he not gone to the pool of Siloam would he have been healed? No. Talking about obedience is the key of the manifested help of the living God. His help will be seen this year. Had he gone all the way to the pool of Siloam and knelt down and put his hands into the water, but that he stopped, would he have been healed?
No.
Had he, wonder if he'd got the water right up to his face, would he have been healed?
No.
He had to obey the Lord. And he went. Can you imagine that? I mean, walking, you got saliva and, you know, spit and dirt all over your face, and you're walking around. And there he goes, and he washes his face. And for the first time ever in his life, he was born blind. For the first time in his life, he saw everything. Whenever we walk in obedience, no matter if it's through the fire, if it's through the flood, whatever it might be, when we go right through, Jesus is going with us. Amen. When we do that, we all of a sudden, we step into the realm of seeing the supernaturalness, the here-ness and the now-ness of God. How? Obedience. Obedience is the key. 2016, the year. Oh, praise God. I'm excited. The year of the manifestation, the made visible help of the living God into your circumstance, into whatever you're facing. And sometimes we're facing something that is so huge that we think there's no way. And God says, you believe my word, I will make a way for you, and you will see how it's going to come to pass. Amen. That's what it's all about. And it's available to those who, by God's grace, by God's power, it's available to those who love God, who love the Lord, and say, you know what, Lord? In my own strength, I can't obey you, but you've given me the power of another. You've given me another you, the Holy Spirit of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And before I quit, God also says in the book of Acts, he says, I have commanded all men everywhere to repent. Commanded. Why? He wants to help you. He wants to save you. If you don't know Christ, if Jesus is not the Lord of your life, not talking about church membership, I'm talking about a living relationship. If he's not your Lord, he can be your Lord today. All you have to do is say, Lord, come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Forgive me. Help me. And I promise you in Jesus' name, he will do so. We're going to close with a song in just a moment. And you know what? If you don't know the Lord, you come down and I'll pray with you. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for 2016, the year of your manifested, made visible help. Oh, we love you. We praise you. We give you honor. We give you glory. Oh, Lord, let there be a hunger for your word, a hunger for your spirit, a hunger to obey. And let there be a rejoicing heart in each and every one of us. Meet every need, Father. I'm so thankful that you're touching your people, that you're blessing your people, that you're leading your people. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, shall we? Those ebony